I like that. Let's let her keep playing. I'll sit down and y'all keep tapping your foot and your hands and we'll be good to go. So thank you for having me back. I always love coming here and enjoy seeing you guys' faces every few months or whatever it is that I get to come and talk with you and speak with you. So I do want to jump right in today, since I don't need to introduce myself, since it was just a little bit ago that I was here. And so the only thing I got last time, every month, my brother, I have an older brother and three older sisters, and we get together for what we call date night. We used to do it with my mom when she was still around, and they had listened to the service online, and it was kind of funny. The only thing they wanted to know about illustrations is why I didn't have any illustrations about me and Jeff. Now, if you want some illustrations about me and Jeff, you're just going to have to see me afterwards, because I've got a ton. I've known him since the seventh grade and an awful long time, and he's got plenty on me as well, but that might not be so flattering, so on both sides for that matter. So this past week, conversation with Patty, we started talking about everything that we learned as young people. And there used to be, I think it was a book that came out that said that everything I ever learned, I learned in kindergarten. And we started talking about that. I believe that everything that honestly I learned in the Bible, I learned in Sunday school. And we started talking about it because we were talking about all the incredible stories, and she was doing a song in church that was called Another in the Fire, and that's kind of how the conversation got started, that she was talking about those stories and about Sunday school. And so I took that from last week, and I started revisiting stories that from Sunday school that we could all recall if you grew up in church. And when I went back, I said, God, look, I know these stories, but can you teach me something new out of them? And so God immediately took me to this passage, one of my favorite, in Jonah. If you have your Bibles, turn to Jonah chapter 2 for me. And I'm going to do something just in the, just to keep my time and to make sure that I stay within my limits here. I want to remind you of the story if you don't have all the details, okay? Because in this story, I could speak on the whole Jonah and the great fish. I could speak about that and about God's judgment upon Jonah during that time, because Jonah did not keep his pact with God that he would do the will of God and go and speak. But I just want you to see that God told Jonah to go and warned the wicked people of Nineveh that judgment was coming. This is my recap. This is Rich's recap of the entire chapter of Jonah chapter 1. Okay, but Jonah got on a ship bound for Tarshish. By the way, Tarshish is the furthest thing away from where God told him to go. Then God sent a monster storm to stop the ship, a monster fish to swallow Jonah, to give him time to ponder what God had told him to do. I think God introduced the first timeout right here. All right, this was God's timeout for Jonah. All right, to give Jonah time to think about him not listening and doing what God had told him to do. But I want to draw your attention today to Jonah chapter 2. And like I said, I've preached on Jonah chapter 1 so many times, but in Jonah chapter 2, I want to read the 10 verses here as fast as I can, then I'm going to draw some points out of it. It said, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord. Remember, he's in the big fish now. Prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards the holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me around about. The words were wrapped about my head. Verse 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainteth with me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. In verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. I want to do this topic today, being thankful in the midst of a crisis. Being thankful in the midst of a crisis and drawing attention to that verse 9, I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I think about that today. Here was Jonah trapped in the belly of a fish for 3 days, and that's a bad week. That's a bad week. All right, but I think about it in this day and time. He was in a crisis, but I'm sure in this room, in churches all over our country, people are in crisis. And how do we get to the point to where Jonah got to where he was being able to say a word of thanksgiving while he was in a crisis? Crises are all over. Many have lost family members during the crisis over the last year and a half now. Family members that they did not expect to lose. Many have are in poor health. Going back to losing family members, a young man grew up in my youth group. We buried last Saturday, 23 years old, that died from COVID. His mom in the hospital at the same time that he was with COVID. Knowing that he was raised in our church, saved in our church, baptized in our church, showed his mom as she lay there struggling for her life, showed a picture of him being baptized, and just trying to encourage her, and she did come out of it. But we buried a crisis that was in. We've got others that are having health issues that they just don't know what to do with. We have marriages that have ended, others that are just hanging on by a thread. Some of our children, as mine, at one time, are just heading down the wrong track in life, and you just don't know what to do. There's a crisis. How do you get to the point of being thankful to God for what's going on in your life? Jonah did. And in this crisis, I want to point out 3 things to you guys today. And as any time that I speak, I've got illustrations upon illustrations of what God's done and what God is doing and what God can do through personal stories. And if I don't run out of time, this is going to become a testimony sermon to you guys. I want you to know that this is just a testimony of things that God's been done in my life that I can show you through the story with Jonah. But look in verse 2. We're going to see the first thing that Jonah did in order to get to a point of thanksgiving is he cried out to God. Look at verse 2. He said, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. Reason of my affliction, the reason why Jonah was crying out is because he was in the belly of the fish. All right, his affliction got him to the point to where he cried out to God. Have you ever got to the point in your life to where all you could do was cry out to God? There was talking about Sunday school, there was a teacher in Sunday school one time was talking about this message, or talking about this chapter. And she asked these little kids, okay, kindergarten kids, she says, how would you escape the belly of the fish? And you can imagine you got some wild stories from some kindergartners. But one of them said this, I would do it by starting a fire out of the mouth of babes. One of them said, I would stomp on the tongue and they would spit me out. Once again, out of the mouth of babes. But they got to this one little girl. And I thought that it was absolutely as only little girls can do at times. She said this, she says, I would just call my daddy. And I'd wait for him to get me out. Isn't that cool? Yeah, I get all the awes from the ladies in here. I heard it. But listen to me for a second. Isn't that where we should be when we're in a crisis with our Father? That we just get to the point to where we cry out to Him and ask Him to deliver us from whatever is going on. Psalms 50 verse 15 says, "Call on me in the day of trouble, and I will answer thee." When I was a kid, I really don't remember how old I was. I even had to text my brother this morning to find out some details of the story. But we had a dog. All right, it was my brother's dog. His name was Buster. All right, now Buster was a pit bull dog, the nicest dog in the world to us. Okay, and he really was. He was a good dog. I was out in the neighborhood one day, and there was a dog that was down the road that got me cornered, okay? A big dog, something. I was just a small kid, and I can remember to this day screaming because my dad and Buster were underneath the carport of our house, which was a few hundred yards away, of just yelling for my dad from all the way down the road. My dad took that dog off the leash, and he was to me before I ever knew what happened. What was he doing? He was protecting me. And I thought about it this week as I was thinking about calling out to dad. My dad couldn't have got there soon enough, all right? But he knew who could, all right? And so when he released that dog and it got to me, I want you to know that that is a story of how God can take care of us. Amen. Even when he puts us into the crisis. For a moment. See, God put Jonah in this crisis because Jonah was not listening and doing what he was supposed to do. God put him in the crisis, all right? And still, Jonah cried out to God. And then God came to deliver him. I think this morning at the second thing that Jonah did when he was in the belly of that fish, it's that Jonah, in verse 3 and 4, says that Jonah looked up to God in hope. Look at verse 3, "For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compass me about, all thy billows and waves press me." Then verse 4, "Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight," here it is, "yet I will look again towards thy holy temple." I will look again. Jonah looked in the belly of the fish, had hope that he was going to get out of it. He had hope that God was going to deliver him out of it. I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that the most powerful emotion, the most powerful feeling that somebody can have is that of hope. When all else is going wrong, if you have a hope as to what's going to take place, as to what can happen, as to what God can change and what God can do, you can make it. You take another step because you have a hope of what the ending is going to be. You don't do this because you have a hope of what the ending is going to be. Your hope is what can sustain you, just like it did Jonah here. Several months ago, I have a son, 23 years old. His name is Christian. I have a daughter, 26, Taylor. I don't have any stories about her today, but I do Christian. So, all right. Several months ago, getting ready for church on a Sunday morning, I work in the hospital. If you don't know me, I don't do this full time. I work for a medical device company. I get calls from the hospital all the time, all night, 24/7, it doesn't matter. I get calls. So I got a call getting ready for work, getting ready for church. Looked at the number, it was hospital. I answered like I do, "This is Rich, how can I help you?" "Yes, Mr. Harrelson." A little bit strange. Nobody calls me by my last name. "Yes, this is a chaplain at Orlando Regional Medical Center." I was like, "Okay." My countenance immediately changed. It was no longer in business. I'm now in protective mode. I'm now wondering what's going on. She says, "Yes, we have your son here that's been in an automobile accident." I was like, "Okay." She goes, "We think he's going to be okay." I was like, "You need a new job, Miss Chaplain." Seriously, that was the word. She says, "And he just is telling me to call you." I was like, "Okay." And I could hear Christian in the background, "Just call my dad." Finally, she says, "I'm on the phone with him now." Like, great. And so I got there, as all parents know, you hear something like that, you're double time, you're there before they know it. Walk in, chaplain meets me, walks me down. I walked into my son, saw the trauma doctor over here who looks at me. I know him from being in there all the time, but I looked at my son from the top of his head, just dripping with blood. Going what we finally estimated to be somewhere around 55, 60 miles an hour, lost control going around a corner, hit head on into a tree, no seatbelt, went through the windshield, came back this way on the windshield and literally scalped the top of his head. I walked in, I want you guys to understand, I walked in not expecting him to really be conscious, but the first thing he did when he looked at me, all right, was just say, "Dad, I'm sorry, will you pray for me?" I thought it strange, okay? I know this is going over air and is recorded, but I thought about it for a moment this week. My son, only thing he wanted at that moment was for his dad to get there. Look, he had a trauma surgeon in there that was sewing him back up. He didn't care that there was a doctor in the house. He just wanted his dad because he had a hope of that if dad's there, everything's going to be okay. Listen, hope is the most powerful emotion and feeling that you can have. It was a miracle by all accounts that my son lived. It'll be a year in January, 1st of January. Okay? No scar can be seen on him anymore. Okay, perfectly healthy, went back to work a week or so later. All right, hope is something that you should have in every situation that you're going through. You have hope that God's going to deliver you out of a crisis. See, hope is something that motivates us when we're discouraged. It sweetens us when we're bitter. It believes when there's no evidence to believe. It endures when nobody cares. And it presses for victory when nobody is there to encourage you. When you're thinking that it's over and you have no answers, you should look to God for your hope. 1 Peter 5 verse 10 says, "And the God of all grace, after you have suffered a little while, will himself return you and make you stand fast." Listen, if you can have hope in what God's going to do for you, then you can endure the tribulation and the crisis that you're going through. Number three, I want you to see that Jonah did in order to get to his point of thankfulness is he spoke out about God being his help. Look for me, please, verse 5 and verse 6. It says, "The waters compass," we got that already, "about even to the soul. The depth closed me around about. The weeds were wrapped about my head." I want you guys to get a picture. I'm a visualist. I want to see this. Okay, I want you to see. And then he goes there. "I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption." Here was Jonah. Okay, I want you to get the picture of what he looked like in the belly of the fish. Okay, I want you to get a picture of they're talking about weeds being around his head. I want you to see the despair that he's in at this particular point, not necessarily knowing what's going on. And he can come up with this right here to where he says, "Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption." Can you think about this today? I get a little bit embarrassed. I'm going to be honest. I get a little bit embarrassed sometimes when I get in front of people, when I'm talking to people about the goodness that I believe that God has put on my life. You say, "Well, that seems strange." No, not really. Okay? When I think about it for just a minute, And I want to tell you, I told you, I want this to be a little bit more of a testimony as to things in my life that God has been able to do for me. When I think about it, I've got a great family that I'm thankful for. I've got a good home that I'm thankful for. I've got a good church that loves me and cares about me and cares about what I'm going through. I've got a good job that not only am I comfortable in what I'm doing and how I live, but it allows me to help other people as well. See, God's been good to me. But then I started thinking this week, look, I got to be honest, it's not always been that way. I think back over my life for several years ago where I laid on the bedroom floor, unconscious in a diabetic coma, and my wife just going nuts over what to do. I think about that God delivered me from that when I shouldn't have been. Blood sugar in the 20s, if for any medical people. Okay, things that just don't make sense. I think back to working in a garage one evening. And vessels behind my left eye burst, and I had no vision. Once again, from several decades of being a diabetic, of just having issues there. I think back to that call from Patty's doctor about a lump that they didn't know what it was that God took care of. And I think back of all the times to where I question God. And sometimes you say, well, you're a preacher, you don't do that. That's hogwash. You question things that are going on in your life and the trials and the issues that you're in, and you wonder what's going on. And then you have to just stop and testify about all the good things that God's done for you, or he has done for you, and what he's brought you through and what he's brought you out of. I think Dale brought it up when I walked in the door. I think to several weeks ago, routine doctor's appointment comes around to my back. And anytime you're in a doctor's office and they said, oh, that's not a good thing. All right, it's not a good thing. But he was just doing a routine check, and he got to my back. He says, oh, have you seen this? It's on my back. I haven't seen it, I promise. He said, well, this should be itching. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Take a biopsy, bring it back. Melanoma that had progressed down to being close to the lymph nodes. Tells me to call my surgeon. I was like, my surgeon, I'm 52 years old. I don't have a surgeon on call. Okay, you're going to have to help me out here a little bit. So anyway, sorry, that wasn't part of the story. But just think about doctors sometimes. Anyway, I go in, I see the surgeon. He says, yeah, we're going to cut probably about the size of your pinky and maybe the width of it there, and we're just going to remove it, make sure that there's nothing left. I was like, okay, no problem. I didn't care at that point. Told Dale, as long as they get it, I didn't care. All right? I really didn't. And I got home after the surgery. All right, I looked in the mirror, and I had an incision that was about that long. I was like, he lied. He lied to me. And I went for my follow-up that following Tuesday to where the results came back. And he's like, yeah, we had to take a little bit more than I thought. I was like, no kidding. But I didn't care. All right, I want to express this to you today, okay? And this is not my typical message. And if you came looking for something a little bit more exciting and yelling, this is not me today. All right? That worry from the time that I told I had something to the time that the lab report came back and said, we got it all. There's that time in there that you're questioning what's going on. You're questioning, what's the reason for this, God? What's your reason for doing this? Until that report comes back and you say, okay, God, you had it all anyway. It was all under your control. Amen. I'm thankful today like Jonah, because of all the things that God's done for me. Plain and simple. How did Jonah get to that place to have thankfulness? Because he looked and said, look, God, if I die in the belly of the fish, I'm thankful because you brought me out of corruption. I'm thankful because I know that if I do die in the belly of this fish, that I'm going to spend an eternity with you. That's why 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, it says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. There's my thanksgiving today. I'm thankful because I know that God loves me. And he loved me so much that he's forgiven me for all the things that I've done wrong. I'm thankful today because I know that God's forgiven me. And then I can spend an eternity in heaven. You know, I believe 100% that God orchestrates things. You guys believe that? Say amen if you believe that. Okay? Last time I was here, Todd had brought a song. I don't remember what it is now, Todd, but it was like perfect in tune for what I was preaching last time. It was something about the love of God, but one of those verses. I mean, literally, I couldn't have picked it out any better. Today, Todd, you did the same thing. I asked him as he was getting ready why he disappeared back there, because I asked him for the lyrics and he went to get it. Think about this for just a moment. Just this one passage here as I close today. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life. All over my life. I see your promises and fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. And then it goes here. It says, see the cross, the empty grave. The evidence is endless. All my sin rolled away because of you, O Jesus. See the cross, see the cross. I see the evidence of your goodness. I'm going to sing that phrase all week. Do you see the evidence of God's goodness in your life? If you don't, you need to rethink. You need to think about it a little bit more. Do you see the evidence of what God's done in your life, of what he can do in your children's life, what he can do in your life, what he can do in a family member's life? Okay? See the goodness of God in your life. Then you can be thankful in a crisis. God's unspeakable gift. I can't do a message, like I said, not my typical one, but I can't do one today without wondering in here, as Randy even said in his prayer earlier, if there's anybody in here that does not know about that unspeakable gift. If you guys would pray with me for a moment. Father, as always, I love to come and preach your word. I don't know why today you led me to this passage. I like to get excited when I preach. God, you know that. I like people to be excited about your word and about what goodness that you've done for us. But today, Father, I can't help but wonder if there's somebody in here that's in a crisis that needed to hear that today. If just somebody that comes and testifies that, yes, there's struggles, there's crises that come in your life, but when you can rethink your thoughts, rethink your goodness and see the goodness of God, that it can change your attitude in a crisis. Father, I pray today if there's anybody that's here like that, that you, Father, would comfort them today. That the Holy Spirit would just come and get in hold of them and just give them a peace and to give them a comfort that things will be okay. Father, if there's somebody here today that doesn't know your son as their personal savior, I pray that today that they would make that known to somebody. Somebody that can show them how that they can become a Christian. I'm going to give a moment if anybody would like prayer today. I'm not going to do this as they come and to the altar, but if there's anybody that would like just for me to pray, maybe not in specifics, but you are in a crisis and you need prayer, I could just have you raise your hand for just a brief moment. I just want to see you and pray for you. Yes, thank you. While everybody's head's bowed, I wonder as well if there's anybody that could tell me today, just once again, by just a raise of hand, to just say, you know, Brother Rich, I don't know 100% sure today that if today was my day, like maybe Jonah was facing, today was my day to meet you, I don't know 100% sure that I would go to heaven. If you could just raise your hand so I could pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you, not going to have you stand up and all that. I just want to be able to pray. Whether or not you know 100% sure, if you don't. Is there anybody that doesn't know that today? Thank you. Thank you. Father, today, thank you once again for your goodness to us. Your goodness to us when we don't even deserve it. Lord, you are good. I love that song. You are good. I pray today for those that are going through a crisis in their life, that you would reach down and comfort and take care of them. And that evidence this week, they will take note of how you've delivered them out of the crisis. Maybe not out of the situation, but you've delivered their heart and their minds out of that crisis to stop looking at the negative part of it and to start looking unto you, the one that can help us. Father, for that today, those that raise their hand about not being able to meet you today if they were to die, I would pray that in just a few moments when we end, that you would give us just a few moments to show how that can be possible and that they could live a life knowing that heaven awaits. Father, once again, I love you and I'm grateful for everything that you do for me. All things undeserved. It's your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys. I don't know your, many times I've come here, I don't know your invitation protocol, so I just kind of make it up as I go. That's all right, but it's just how it is, all right? So I do enjoy being with you guys. I told Todd I was going to make it at 12 today, but I just couldn't do it. I tried. It's good. I'll blame it on him. He sang too many songs. No, I do love you guys. I do. I do feel like family when I come, and I pray that you guys have a wonderful day, a wonderful week. And pray for Jeff as he is traveling. And so, if you would. All right. And that's it. God bless.